Grace and peace to you from God, our Creator, and our Lord and Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. This past week, I had the great privilege of traveling with Pastor Mike and 9 of our high school youth at Zion up to Wilderness Canoe Base in the Boundary Waters. Wilderness Canoe Base is affiliated with Camp WAPO, but instead of being in Amory, Wisconsin, it is nestled on Seagull Lake at the entrance of the Boundary Waters of northern Minnesota. It's a truly beautiful and magical place where trees outnumber people and the water flows as clear as can be as far as the eye can see. We spent half of our week doing service projects on base, including transplanting some cedar trees that were growing underneath the trail shack to new homes outside of the sauna. We cleared some rocks, or some might call them boulders, from the driveway into camp. You'll have to ask Pastor Mike about that one. And we stained some of the staff cabins. The other half of our week we spent out on trail. We had 2 canoe groups that were paddling and portaging our way through the many interconnected lakes of the Boundary Waters. Overall, we had decent weather while canoeing. But let me tell you, nothing teaches you how to pray quite like choppy, white-capped waters from heavy wind as you are furiously paddling and trying to find a place to camp for the night. In today's gospel, the disciples come to Jesus with a simple but profound request. Lord, teach us to pray. Jesus responds not just with words, but with a vision of what it means to live in relationship with God. He gives them the Lord's Prayer, a simple yet direct and intimate prayer. Father, hallowed be your name. Your kingdom come. Give us this day our daily bread. It isn't flowery, nor is it abstract. It's an earthly and practical prayer. It's a wilderness kind of prayer. In the wilderness, whether it's the literal wilderness of the Boundary Waters or the wilderness seasons of our lives, our needs become very clear. While at camp, we get stripped of distractions, our endless to-do lists went out the door, as well as phone service and Wi-Fi. We stopped checking our watches because time works differently when you wake up with the sun and paddle until your arms burn and your shoulders are sore. There is no rushing, no multitasking, just one stroke at a time, just the lake and sky and wind and trees and a God who feels so much closer when all the noise of the world is gone. Out on the water, we saw loons glide by us, calling out across the glassy morning lakes as we gathered in our canoes to share a first word. We found and gathered raspberries and added them to our morning flapjacks and snacked on wild bunch berries and blueberries. We quenched our thirst with the cold, clear water from the middle of the lake. We splashed and swam in Eddy Falls, letting that water pour over our sore bodies and massage us. We had a beaver friend circling our camp, gnawing on wood as we prepared our dinner over the fire. And we got harmlessly pranked by our guide, who convinced us that we needed to sleep with our paddles so the beaver would not eat them. We were witnesses to the glory of God's creation, raw, untamed, and breathtaking. While on trail, we had a rhythm of checking in together each day as we sat around and ate our dessert. We would go around the circle and share our triple J, junk, joy, and Jesus. I must admit that most of the junk on our trip was due to mosquito bites and sore muscles. Our joys included things like laughing with friends, swimming in the lake, or finally enjoying dinner together at camp. But my favorite part was hearing where our students saw Jesus each day. Some saw Jesus in the wildlife surrounding us, letting us know that we are visitors in their home. Some saw the Lord in the challenges they overcame, in carrying that double-lined heavy canoe over their head on the 110-rod portage without taking any breaks. And just if you're not aware, a portage is when you take all of your stuff out of the lake to walk on land to get to a new lake. And 110 rods, a rod is the length of the canoe, so about 16 feet. I'll let you guys do the math on that. So quite the accomplishment, not to pause at all, just charge ahead for that whole portage. Or there was the joy of setting up our finicky six-person A-frame tent correctly on the first try. Some saw Jesus in each other, a helping hand offering to carry a heavy pack, or advice on how to hold your paddle better so you could have correct strokes. Ultimately, out there in the wilderness, we were noticing God all around us, always. And yet, as beautiful as it all was, the trip was not easy. There were days when the wind was against us. In my group, our last full day out on the lakes, we were trying to get as close to Wilderness Canoe Base as possible because we had a 6 a.m. report time the next morning. This proved a challenge as the wind really picked up during our lunch break. Looking out on the water, we decided it would be better to paddle hard in the afternoon to try to get closer to camp than to wake up super early in the morning and have a long paddle home. So we prepared our canoes with our strongest in the bow on the front of the boat and our steering experts in the stern, the back, and the duff, the person sitting in the middle, usually not paddling, but helping to keep morale high, were alert and ready to help in whatever way they could. One of our youth said, "There really isn't much you can do as a duff except trust in your partners and pray." She said she never stopped praying. The waters were rough, and the first four campsites we came across were full, but eventually we made it to safety and were able to land and set up camp. Even on the easier days, we still had to carry everything, canoes, packs, food, and ourselves, over slippery or steep and rocky portages that left us exhausted and humbled. However, through it all, we were learning to trust, to lean not into our own strength, but the strength of the group, and ultimately on God. I think that's at the heart of Jesus' message in Luke 11. Prayer is not about getting the words perfect. It's not about saying all the right things. It's about relationship. And it's about trust. It's about turning to God in our need, in our exhaustion, in our fear, and in our awe. Jesus tells his disciples, "Ask and it will be given you. Search and you will find. Knock and the door will be opened for you." That doesn't mean we always get exactly what we want, but it does mean that God is always near, always listening, always loving. In the wilderness, we ask for things that at home we take for granted: a safe place to sleep each night, strength to carry on to the end of our portage, enough food to sustain us through our long paddles. And each time, in some way or another, God provided, through the kindness and patience of our guides, through the beauty that was always surrounding us, through the quiet courage we found within ourselves. When you're disconnected from society in the wilderness, off the grid, and away from the constant swarm of notifications, you begin to see more clearly. You begin to hear the still, small voice of God again. You begin to remember what it is to be a creature dependent on your Creator. And you begin to pray, not because you have to, but because you need to. Because in the stillness, you realize that prayer is not a performance. It's a lifeline. And so this week, I invite you to enter into a spiritual kind of wilderness. Step back from the noise, even for just a moment. Set down your schedule. Breathe in and look up and pray. Not with fancy words, but with the honesty of someone carrying a canoe up a steep and rocky trail. The Lord's Prayer reminds us that prayer is not primarily about results, but about trust. Not about saying the right words, but about staying in relationship with the one who created and loves us. We knock because we believe someone is listening. We ask because we believe the Father loves us as children and the good gift of the Holy Spirit is ours. The Lord's Prayer may be familiar, but it still invites us into that mystery. It belongs to us, and yet it escapes us. We pray because God is listening. God is near. And God, like any good parent, is already reaching out to provide what we need most. Love, presence, forgiveness, and grace. Amen.